the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17 said this, starting in verse 7, "Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them." Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. And they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may even be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." That was the Lord Jesus Christ praying for us, folks. That was Him praying for us. We're in a time today where we need much prayer. I fear that perhaps we have too many people taking victory laps, when that lap for a lot of them is going to end up in the pits of hell. That's not, all the stuff that we've seen going on since the election is not good news for America, folks. Donald Trump, in his inaugural address, quoted a verse that deals with unity among brethren. He quoted that verse. Problem with that: they got to be brethren. Why are we having all the problems and all the disunity that we're having today? We're not brethren. We're not of this world, folks. That prayer should be as much of an encouragement to us as it is a warning to us. We're not of the world. I'm glad that I don't get my genuine, heartfelt encouragement from the world. I get it from the Lord Jesus Christ, and the book. The book is true. Thy word is truth. Doesn't matter whether I believe it or not, it's still truth. Doesn't matter whether I believe what God says, God said it, period. So, the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for us. The only way that we're going to change this world from what it is now is if we get busy witnessing to people, if we get busy trying to evangelize people. That's the only thing, that's the only change that's going to make a difference in our lives. The niece of Martin Luther King came on Fox News this morning, and she is adamantly opposed to abortion. And she made the statement that the only way that we're going to come back to unity is to go back to God. That's what she said. And that's absolutely right, folks. There it is there. That, I don't know how many times I've turned around and looked at that statement right there. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. We're in much need of a healing. I can tell you this, that if we do not repent and turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not going to be that healing. The devil is doing his dead level best to destroy the United States of America. He's doing his dead level best to destroy the church also. Doing his dead level best to destroy the nation of Israel and the Jew. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about true believers. I'm not talking about false professors that are in our churches in America today. They're there, and all that they're doing is trying to tear down the church and everything that the church is supposed to believe, and those that aren't doing that are going after the Jew and after the nation of Israel. Folks, God is not happy with that. Donald Trump still has the plan to move the American embassy to Jerusalem. That's still there. And he reiterated that earlier this week. I hope that he does, because if he does it, he'll be the only president that has promised to do it that in fact did do it. Every president since they passed that law in 1995, except Barack Obama, came out in favor of moving the embassy to Jerusalem, but they never done it. But Trump plans to do that. And by the way, Trump also plans to sign an executive order today prohibiting funds to the international organization of, that Planned Parenthood has out there international, to deny them any funding. Now, that was a law, I think it was originally signed by President Ronald Reagan and has been signed and put back into effect by every president since, other than Barack Obama. And what that does is that money supports abortions internationally. So, Trump is supposed to sign an order on that. But I would think that if you looked, I know a lot of you work jobs, and this is probably the first where I've listened to most of the confirmation hearing for the people that Trump has put up, and most of the stuff surrounding the inauguration and the putting in of the next president of the United States. And I will say this: I've never seen more wickedness. I've never seen more disunity. I've never seen more violence. And there's a new face to the violence that we're seeing. You are seeing women. You're seeing women that are destroying property. They are tearing up stuff. Folks, that ought to wake some folks up. We have a very serious problem. The spirit of Antichrist has taken over this country. The only light is places like this. The only light is the Christians. The Bible says to let your light so shine before men. The only light that they can see is you and I. That's the only light that they're going to see. And as dark as things are, if you'll stand for the truth, if you'll live a sanctified life, live a holy life, and be a Christian in all your attitudes before them, you're going to be almost a blinding light to them. And when they see that, they will want, people are looking for something that's real. They will want what you have. Believe me. Everybody, one of the phenomenons that's going on right now that doesn't make sense to me, and it probably won't make sense to you, the fastest growing churches, believe it or not, are those that are standing for the fundamental truths of the Word of God. That baffles me, folks. Now that there's not a lot of them that's there, but that does baffle me. Think about it. People are looking for something real. Do you have something that is real? Is what you have, the salvation that you say that you have, is it real? Can others see the Lord Jesus Christ in you? Will your personal testimony, will your life make a difference to some unbeliever that looks upon you and is looking for something genuine? Folks, they are looking for pure love. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for a love that is without, the Bible uses the term dissimulation. It's not something that is shown in order that you might get some advantage from it, but it is shown to show forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's shown forth for. And if our motivation would be to show Him off instead of ourselves, to show Him off, you lift Him up. Lift Him up. And if you'll lift Him up, the cross will be lifted up, He'll be exalted, and we'll see more folks getting saved. That's the need of the hour. The need of the hour is that we would have national repentance. The need of the hour is that we would see folks come to salvation because lost people see the reality of Christ in you. That's what we need. That'll bring unity back to the nation. We can argue politics all day long. And it's rotten, folks. It's rotten to the core. And it makes me sick to talk about the things that I see going on. And I see a renewal of some things that I haven't seen since the Vietnam War. There were people in this country that I, as a military man, detested because I saw what they were doing to the United States of America. I still have that in me, folks. I am still very strongly pro-American. I'm very strongly pro-American military. I love our military, but I am sick and tired of seeing our political leaders take our good men that are in uniform and go and fight in wars that they have no intention of winning. Just strictly political. I'm sick of that. I am tired of it. It's time that we stood up and had a man that will stand up and say, we're not taking any more of our boys into a war that we do not intend to win and to seal the win. We need to do that. Because until we do that, we're going to continue to have more and more of our men die in useless causes that nobody really believes in. All the wars, most of the wars that we fight, folks, are about money. About money. We have huge companies out there during the wars that have supported both sides. They've sold weapons to both sides. You remember when Eisenhower left office, he warned about the military-industrial complex? That's what it's all about, folks. And I'm all for standing up for America. If they step on us and they do something that's ungodly to one of our allies, like the nation of Israel, we need to stand up and make them pay a price for it. And let them know that that's what we're going to do. This thing of waffling back and forth, where nobody knows where you're going or what you're going to stand for and what you aren't going to stand for, needs to stop. There's a biblical principle that's involved. How long halt ye between two opinions? Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve Baal? Are you going to serve the God of Islam? By the way, folks, Islam is the perfect instrument to bring the Antichrist to power. Perfect. And I'm more and more convinced of that. I want to encourage you to get into your Bibles. I want to encourage you to try to cultivate a closer relationship with the Lord in your prayer life. We all need that. I need that. We need to be praying for this country. We need to be praying for the leaders of this country too. Some of them are doing some right things. And hopefully they'll stay at in that position of doing some right things. Sure. The church is blown about by every wind of doctrine today. And he's right. Most people are going with the flow instead of going with the book. Yeah. We can't be pew potatoes, folks. You've heard a couch potato? A man to declaim radical Islam in a speech, in his inauguration speech, and that was Donald Trump. But folks, radical Islam's not the problem. Islam is the problem. Islam, and we need to know that. And we need to know that the Muslim Brotherhood is really the fountainhead of all terrorist organizations. In the United States, they have a plan to take over the United States government. And most folks don't know. How many of you know who Frank Gaffney is? Ever heard of Frank Gaffney? Frank Gaffney was part of the national security team for President Ronald Reagan. He has uploaded a 10-part video series that deals with the Muslim Brotherhood and how they are attempting to take over the in the United States by the imposition of Sharia law and by, you know how people wear you down by just one attack after another, constantly after you? That's what they're trying to do to you. That's what they're trying to do to America. And America does not have the spiritual backbone to resist them. And believe me, it's not a Republican or a Democrat thing. It's both of them that are involved in it. And it's not a pretty thing. But Frank Gaffney uploaded a series of videos. And if you get the opportunity, you ought to go and watch him. By the way, he got an honorable mention by one of the senators from the good state of Connecticut that was attacking one of Trump's nominees. He called Frank Gaffney out as being a conspiracy theorist. By the way, the Bible says there's a conspiracy of her prophets. And that's not talking about God's prophets. There is a conspiracy. Why do the heathen rage? Because there's a conspiracy out there. Why it is. And he was openly accused in that Senate hearing of being a conspiracy theorist. And he called out another guy, David Horowitz, who has done the same thing to resist Islam. I've talked to y'all about the BDS movement, boycott, divest, and sanctions against the nation of Israel. And I've mentioned to you the attacks that have taken place against Jews on the college campuses of the United States of America. And a lot of that is being spearheaded by the Muslim Brotherhood students organizations. There's at least 150 of them on college campuses in the United States now, folks. 150 of them. And I hope at some point in time to show you a map of the mosques that are spread all over this country. They're trying their dead level best to take over. But David Horowitz has gone out against that BDS movement, and he's also gone out against the people that are attacking Jewish students in American universities. And folks, it is running rampant. If you want to get an idea of where that particular group stands at, David Horowitz runs a site that's called the Freedom Foundation, and the magazine that they write from is called Front Page Magazine. Have you ever seen any articles from it? You want to get a Jewish perspective on what's going on the campuses of colleges in America, go and read some of those articles there. I would also encourage you, while we're doing this series here, there's a website out there called the Jewish Virtual Library. It's online. You want to get a perspective from a Jewish point of view, from a Middle East point of view, on what's going on in the Middle East, go to that website and start reading those articles. You can spend days there, folks. And it gives you the history and the background of all the wars that Israel's had to fight since they came into existence in 1948. And they continue in one war after another that they've been in. And I've done a study on those wars. And if you take a look at it, the Muslims ought to get the message. If you mess with Israel, God is going to make you pay a price for it. America needs to get that message also. Because every time we do something that messes with the nation of Israel, something happens to the United States of America. But we need to get that message. You don't mess with them. You look at the wars that they fought, and most of the time we're talking at least 9 or 10 to 1 difference in the casualty figures that are involved in, and some amazing things. In the 67 war, do you know that within the first 4 hours of the war that Israel had destroyed the Egyptian Air Force, the Syrian Air Force, and the Jordanian Air Force, and established air superiority? And if anybody knows anything about military operations, you've got to have air superiority. But they practically destroyed every plane that they had before they could even get them off the ground. You don't think God was in that? Don't mess with Israel, folks. Now, this is not a Democrat or Republican thing. I've said that. The Obama administration took the godless compromise and appeasement of the Bush administration to the next level. I used to cringe when George W. Bush would say that Islam was a religion of peace and that the little g god of the Muslims was the same as the God of the Bible. I used to cringe at that, folks. Politically correct statements are almost always ungodly. In fact, they are ungodly. Why? Because they promote a lie. You're telling a lie when you do it. There were many times, and I've already quoted this passage of Scripture, that I wanted to scream in George W. Bush's ears, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Y'all remember when Jehu went out to see, here's a statement that he made. "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord, therefore is wrath upon thee from the Lord." That was one of the Israeli kings that had compromised. And this guy went out and rebuked them for that. Folks, we can't be compromising. We've got to stand. And we're going to have to pay a price for it. Now, the God of the Muslims is Satan. And Muhammad is his false prophet. Muhammad is the biggest false prophet that has ever existed on the face of this earth. He promoted the biggest lie. And it is the lie of peace where there is no peace. It is the lie that the God of Islam is the same as the God of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went after him, folks. President Obama used American taxpayers' money to overthrow pro-American dictators and replace them with God-hating Islamic dictatorships that are hell-bent on the murder of Jews and Christians and the destruction of Israel and this country. That's the truth, folks. That's the truth. You want to go, how many of you have heard the organization CAIR, C-A-I-R? Council on what is it? American Islamic Relations. Do you know they're a Muslim Brotherhood organization? Do you also know that they were co-conspirators in a group that was drawn up to finance terrorism under the banner of Hamas? They were under that. Do y'all know that? And yet, they were a group that came out and said that Donald Trump ought not have Franklin Graham at the inauguration. You know why they didn't want Franklin Graham at the inauguration? He called them out for what they were. They're wicked and ungodly. They're a bunch of conniving, murdering devils is what they are. That's the best that I can say about them. Folks, there is no radical Islam. It's all radical. Islam is radical to its core. And folks, I've said this and I've said this. They ought not be treated under American foreign policy any different than the communists were treated. Because they are more of a political system than they are religion. This is not about freedom of religion, folks. It's not about it. By the way, radical Islam is one of the most redundant terms I've ever heard. That's redundant, about as redundant as you can get. 270 million people. When we won't stand up for the nation of Israel, we're in serious trouble. It is the devil's bidding when we will not stand against those that seek the death of the Jews and the destruction of the nation of Israel, when God says he will bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. For America to refuse to stand for the Jew in Israel is nothing short of national suicide. That's how serious it is, folks. America should take every resource that they have to resist any attempt at the destruction of the nation of Israel. Period. This particular video series that I've already had reference to give you some idea of what, I've just got about 10 minutes left here, to give you some idea of some of the things that were contained in this. There were 16 points that he made in this particular series. Sharia is a totalitarian, brutally repressive, and supremacist doctrine. That's what the conclusion that he came to. And it's opposed to everything that you believe in, folks. It wishes to replace your religious freedom and all of your other freedoms with Sharia law. That's what it wishes to do. Sharia is principally about power, not faith. And that is it, folks. There's a load of material out there on there. If you're really interested, you can find this material. It's out there. What I'm trying to do is raise up a warning flag. The Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood, is not a nonviolent group. And he documents that. The Muslim Brotherhood's strategic plan, the group's mission in America, is a civilization jihadist process. And what that means is that, you remember the doctrine that we talked about that the Islamics use called Taqiyya? Taqiyya is the doctrine of deception. That's what this is all about. They'll promote peace wherever they can. They'll talk peace, when they're not in power. But when they get into power, folks, we're all in trouble. It says here, the Muslim Brotherhood civilization jihad is being pursued through stealthy means involving the penetration and subversion of this country's civil society and governing institutions. Folks, they have infiltrated the Democratic Party in the upper levels. They have infiltrated the Republican Party in the upper levels. How many of you have heard a guy named Grover Norquist? Grover Norquist is one of the guys in the Republican Party that was involved in promoting Islamic causes. He was involved in. What about the guy that is up now to be the chairman of the Democratic Party, Keith Ellison? Do y'all know what his politics and his background is? He is a Muslim. And by the way, he said some things that if a conservative said them, the whole world would be up in arms. The things that Keith Ellison said, Brother Jeff. And folks, y'all do know, when I say they've been filtrated the parties, y'all have heard a lot about Huma Abedin. You know who she is? We all know who she is. Do you know that she is a member of the Muslim Sisterhood, which is the companion organization to the Muslim Brotherhood? Did y'all know that? Hopefully they will indict her and her husband and make them subject to the law like they would General Petraeus, or like they would the sailor that took six photographs down somewhere on one of the submarines, and he's in prison now. There is no equal justice. Sister Dawn, did you have a comment? Yeah. They call it stealth jihad is what they call it. And folks, that is in the Quran. That's something not only that are they authorized to do, they're actually encouraged to do it. They are encouraged to lie to you to cover up what their true objectives are. They are encouraged to agree with you when they are in the minority. They are full of hypocrisy and the most dangerous group that we've ever seen on the face of the earth. And the proof of that is, I'll quote the figure for you again. 270 million people have been killed in the promotion of Islam. Violent murders, genocides of every sort in every country on the face of this earth that they've been guilty. I say on the face of this earth, every country that they were able to reach. India being one big one that they reached, where they have murdered millions upon millions of people in India. Yeah. And you want in Islam. And it is the love of God that gets it done. Yeah, and Muslims are getting saved, folks. They are getting saved. And it's the power of God that's doing it. Yeah. Yeah. It's the power of God. And what is the power of God? How is it manifested? In love, isn't it? When we feel the presence of God in this congregation and feel the Holy Ghost working in this congregation, what you are experiencing is the pure love of God. That's what you're experiencing, because God is love. God is a spirit, but God is love. And when you come in full fellowship with Him, He cleans out the hatred that's there. If you'll yield to Him, He cleans that out. And that's what happens when the Muslim gets saved. God cleans that hatred out of them and puts the Holy Ghost in its place. The spirit of Antichrist is replaced by the Spirit of God. And it changes folks. And it'll change you. If you've been saved, it's changed you. It will. You can't change yourself. I know I tried. I don't know how long I tried to change myself. And thank God the Holy Ghost kept blowing those leaves over and blowing them out of the way. Every time I turn over a new leaf, not having that. Why? Because I was under conviction, folks. You're not going to get saved unless you're under conviction. And when you do get saved, when you get saved, it's the Holy Ghost that does that conviction. It's the Holy Ghost that converts you. It's the Holy Ghost that regenerates you too, folks. So the ministry of the Holy Ghost is to draw people and to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He comes inside, He's going to promote Christ, and He's not going to promote you. Because if you end up being promoted, you better step back and take a look at where you are with God. So, you know, one of the ways that I can tell that men are promoting themselves is when they won't preach the Word of God. Because they're afraid of what somebody else might say. They have an ego and they don't want somebody to offend that ego. I think that I probably say some things up here that are pretty hard to some of you sometimes. But if I wanted to get the praise of men, I wouldn't do that. We're to tell the truth, folks. And what I'm going to get into next week, we're about 6 minutes of, is I've talked a lot about the everlasting covenants. And we're going to talk about those. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 12 and read the first 5 or 6 verses there. Then we're going to get into Genesis 15, Genesis 17, and a whole host of scriptures that will prove to you that the covenant that God had with and has, not had, not past tense, has with the nation of Israel is an eternal covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. And by the way, that everlasting covenant is unconditional. It's not conditioned on the obedience of the nation of Israel. Just like your salvation is not conditioned upon your obedience. It's conditioned upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your fellowship with God is conditioned on your conduct. Just like Israel's relationship with God was conditioned upon their conduct. But that covenant is there. And we're going to discuss that covenant and really dig it out deep. Did you know that there are 33 separate extended passages of Scripture in your Bible that promotes the everlasting covenants that God has established with the nation of Israel? But we have so many Protestant theologians that reject the nation of Israel and put the church in its place. Do you have any idea how much Bible prophecy it would be impossible to have fulfilled if Israel did not have a plan in God's, have a place in God's plan? A huge amount of it, folks. question I would ask anybody that holds to that doctrine is, do you think God didn't know what was going to happen? God knows the beginning from the end. He knew what Israel would do and what they wouldn't do, and He does you too, folks. So, thank you for listening this morning. Y'all be praying for our country, folks. We are in serious need of prayer. There is so much disunity there that we'll pay a price for it. So thank you for listening this morning.